Hi, you should try my neon green jalapeno margaritas, and I'm Allison.
And I can't find a date to go see Love, Simon. I'm Evan.
And we are Cheryl's Bitches. Yes, it's the Love, Simon episode.
It's the Love, Simon episode.
What else could you possibly be waiting for? This episode is beyond iconic. There are so many moments that I could quote having not seen this episode in years.
I know. There were so many moments where I was watching and I was just like, let's go back. I need to rewatch that. That was too good.
This is chapter 27, The Hills Have Eyes. And I also low-key forgot the plot relevance of this episode. Like, this becomes kind of the linchpin of the end of the season. And I'm so busy commenting on Love, Simon that I forget, like, this is plot relevance.
No, in my mind, these are two different episodes. It's the plot, like, plot relevant part of this episode, and then Love, Simon is its own episode.
Like, we'll get into it, but I forgot that they straight up play a clip from Love, Simon.
They do!
I'm on the floor. Like, we are gonna be, I'm sorry. We're already laughing and giggling. This is going to be a bad one. I'm already drinking, so you know it's going to be bad. But this episode is just, it's too much, but it's also, it's so riveting. Like, this is one of those episodes where it's like, the girls that get it, get it. The girls that don't, mm-hmm. don't.
Yeah, that's exactly how this episode is. So the episode opens with Jughead narrating and indicating that Betty is still very stressed about the body that she hid in the woods. And she keeps checking the paper and just waiting to get caught. But nothing is happening so far. However, in the meantime, Chick is really starting to piss her off.
She's an icon.
She's just like annoyed with his presence. And I'm like, you're so real, Betty.
She's like, stop using my bathroom. I love that because it's like, yeah, Betty, I guess she's not an only child. Polly's just like gone. But like, it's like she wanted a sibling so bad. And then Chick does some stuff that annoys her. And she's like, don't use my bathroom, Chick.
Which, to be fair, her bathroom is like through her room. So like, it is weird that he's using her bathroom.
And he just says it has better water pressure. Like, he has access to a different bathroom. So that's kind of weird.
Like, it's weird.
Then we see Penelope is still being a, you know. But she is a romantic because she really wants to be with Hal, and she's mad at Cheryl that she took away her only chance at happiness. And Cheryl's like, with Hal Cooper, like, girl, she's married. He's married. Which, fair. I feel like that was fair.
That was fair. Penelope did not think that was fair, though, and calls Cheryl a jealous, spite-filled, starving, emotional anorexic, and then goes, have a nice day at school, dear.
First time listening to that, this was already one of the clips I had to replay, because the first time listening to it, I couldn't tell if she like was saying emotional anorexic or
no,
like emotional
neither.
Anorexic. I'm like, is she anorexic? Because she also says starving. So I'm like, is she commenting on her anorexia? Like,
yeah, I was like, is this just her being like, you don't deserve anything because you're anorexic?
But it's really because she's gay and has never felt love.
Yeah. Hiram then invites Veronica and Archie to go to their lake house for the weekend, because he says that him and Hermione were supposed to go, but now they can't. And he's like, why don't you invite Betty and Jughead too? And Veronica's like, yeah, let's go. So she's very excited, and then Hiram wants Andre to be there with them, and Veronica's like, no chaperone.
Why did you do that?
I don't know.
You're the character in Love, Simon.
I'm channeling the energy of the episode.
Evan did a
finger stereotype.
A homophobic finger wag, question mark. We've already lost the plot.
Oh, and then Veronica insists on a chaperone, which Hiram eventually agrees to, but is like, actually, I need to speak with Archie. And so they go into his study.
Cute.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells Archie that they're meeting other families that are involved in kind of the Sodale project, and that he thinks it'll be safer out of town. So he wants Veronica to leave town, and that Andre will be nearby, just not visible to Veronica to make her happy.
Yeah. There's a mob meeting, and he wants his daughter out of town.
You know what? Smart.
Smart. Good for him. Anyways, in other news, FP is looking for places to move because their trailer park is still being, like, I don't know, everyone is being evicted, even though only some of them owe rent? Question mark. And Jughead is not happy with the places that FP can afford. And FP's like, grow up.
Yeah, just highlight, Jughead was homeless for most of season one, so it's like, why is he suddenly being so picky about housing? Like, it just seems like it doesn't add up.
It doesn't. And the reason he's being so picky is because he's actually upset about the fact that they have to move at all, because he says no one in the park should have to move, which I understand his premise, because they're like not owing back rent, that they shouldn't have to move. But they do say that, like, many of these people owe a significant amount of rent that hasn't been paid and, like, probably is grounds for eviction. I don't know.
Yeah. So Jughead says that he needs to figure out a different angle to get to Hiram. Then at school, we see that Love, Simon is coming out this weekend, and Moose is going with Midge, which I'm like, okay, allies. At least Midge is an ally. And he invites Kevin to come with them on their date, which feels a little wrong. And Kevin is also not into it and says it's a little too big love for him.
Yeah, well, because Moose says that he told Midge about them and she's cool with it.
But we later find out, like, he's clearly not articulating himself well, because he's told Midge that they're friends. That's all.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Anyways, Veronica and Archie invite Betty and Jughead to the lake house, and they agree to go. Veronica describes it as a rustic, which I found funny. And then Cheryl overhears the invitation and invites herself, and says, where are we going? And how extravagant of a wardrobe should I pack? So good.
But she's actually not invited because it's couples only, which, like, I get it, but also that is very sad. Like,
it is. You know,
I think we've all been in a situation where, like, couples are kind of going out and she didn't even get invited, but, you know, like, they invite you, but it's like, you're like, oh, I'm not gonna go.
Yeah, like, I don't.
That's, cinematic that's parallels between Kevin and Cheryl this episode.
Yeah, I wonder what they could have in common. I would just also like to know that Cheryl turns around and leaves, and she just has the world's smallest backpack on, and it's kind of iconic. I made note of it.
I remember those mini backpacks. I also noted that Betty is in an ugly bright pink sweater with a white bejeweled collar.
Yep. Yeah, she is.
She's bejeweled. He lets her be bejeweled.
He stands behind her. She lets her bejeweled.
Speaking Anyways. Of Jughead, is because he's looking for a new source, thinks that Veronica could be the new source, mm-hmm. That's why he wants to come. But Betty's like, please don't interrogate my best friend. She needs an escape from all of the chick nonsense. So she just wants it to be like a real vacation.
And Jughead agrees. So then Jughead goes to pick up Betty and he runs into Chick, and Chick is just like super weird. And low-key threatening, and he asks if Jughead knows about the body, and Jughead's like, yeah, but don't worry about me, like, I'm chill. And then he, like, insinuates that if Jughead tells anyone, he's gonna hurt Betty and Alice. It's just a weird vibes.
Yeah, he says it would be bad for Betty and Alice, which, like, he's
I mean, not- it would be, regardless.
Yeah. Right, like, it would be. So it's like, do you, like... I don't know if he's just planning on like ratting, like blaming them or hurting them, or yeah, who knows?
It's like, it could have been in theory just like a general warning, but also it was menacing in tone.
Yeah. So then they're driving up to the cabin and Andre drops them off and says that he's only a phone call away to Archie. And Veronica's like, go scram, Andre, thinks he's going to be far away. And Andre does have a gun.
Yeah, I also want everyone to know that Andre's like, okay, I can help unload your bags and everything. And then Veronica says, no, Archie will do it.
She says, like, no, we can get it. And then hands all of the bags to Archie. Like, damn, you can't carry one. Veronica says, welcome to what they call Lodge. And it's very nice and not at all rustic. So like,
yeah, Veronica, I don't, it's a really cute like cabin on a lake. I don't, whatever. Anyways, this scene is very shortly interrupted because Cheryl calls Jughead and says, he asks who it is, and she goes, it's Cheryl, welfare baby.
Look. Not right, but funny.
But so funny. It's so wrong, but so funny. Anyways, then he's like, why are you calling? And she's like, oh, I just wanted to let you know that Betty and Archie kissed in front of my house at Christmas, and it seemed pretty serious. She says, it seemed pretty serious, like with tongue serious. That's all. Enjoy your couple's weekend. Kisses to all. Bye-bye now.
This is such an iconic Cheryl moment because it's like, wow, she really just is a bad person for no reason. And that's why we have to love her.
Yeah, I was like, it was such an iconic move because she was so mad she didn't get invited. She was like, I'm gonna ruin this weekend for everyone.
Fair. So then Tony walks into the bathroom where Cheryl was making the phone call.
Well, first Jughead tells everyone what Cheryl told him.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Then Tony walks into the bathroom.
And she's basically like, why would you do that? Because it was completely unprompted. She says, I need no reasons. I simply am. Feel free to tremble.
No, she says, hi, I'm Cheryl Blossom, aka Cheryl Bombshell, which means I need no reasons. I simply am.
Feel free to tremble. And then for some reason, Tony's like, okay, I'm going to make my move right now. Which, like, honestly, yeah. And, like, basically is, like, trying to comfortably touch her shoulders. And Cheryl says, get your sapphic serpent hands off my body.
I wrote that quote down and then put dash Cheryl sad face.
Can we just emphasize the fact that Cheryl goes from this to basically coming out to, I mean, one person, but still coming out to someone other than herself in just because she watched Love, Simon.
It's a transformative experience.
And I also also love, like, Cheryl storms off and Tony has the most knowing smile. And I'm like, girl, oh, Tony, I understand you, but don't be like this.
Anyways, Archie and Veronica discuss the kiss, and how they think it's affecting Betty and Jughead, and that they're maybe not doing so well. And then Veronica thanks Archie for telling her and trusting her and says it shows how strong they are together, which Archie has this look on his face like, yeah, I've told you everything. Like, it's such a not subtle look.
No poker face. He's like, oh yeah, so true. Then we see Jughead talking to Betty, and he says that he's not mad about the kiss. He just doesn't understand why she didn't tell him when he told her about Tony. And he says, you thought Archie was my third rail, which I don't know what the fuck that means. Is that a literary reference that I'm too stupid to know?
No, the third rail is, like, on the subway, the, like, electrified rail that the train draws its power from. So I'm guessing he's saying that, like, it's the subject that if you touch will, like, end things.
Oh, deep.
Yeah. I guess.
Did you know Jughead reads books?
Did you know Jughead is an artiste and needs to move to New York to pursue his craft?
And meet the Rat King.
There's so much still to happen in this show.
And Jughead says, like, no, like, I used to feel that way about Archie because, and then basically pitches why Archie should be endgame and not them. Like, he's like, you guys grew up together and, like, you can see each other from the window and, like, you've always loved each other. But I'm not intimidated anymore. Okay. And then they hear Archie and Veronica fucking from, like, the other side of the wall. And Jughead asks, is that their response to everything? Can't they just have a conversation? Which is what I think we all think.
Yeah, I literally wrote in my notes, I understand them. I'm with them making fun of them. Anyways, it was rather aggressive squeaking. And then Betty and Jughead go downstairs and talk to Veronica and Archie after they're, I'm assuming everything is wrapped up between all of them. And they tell Archie and Veronica that everything's fine. And Veronica's like, okay, time for jalapeno marks.
These jalapeno marks are neon green. Like, I do not understand what the hell she put in these things, but I would not drink it. Like,
it is the color of the, like, radioactive sludge in cartoons. That's what it looks like.
Did she put food dye in these to make them more green? Like, I just don't understand. Margaritas are already green.
Yeah. Anyways, then I wrote, Jughead says he'd like to propose a toast, but didn't sing Ladies Who Lunch.
Not the exact same fucking thing. Oh my god, are we gay?
I think we might be gay.
Damn it. I don't know, we haven't seen Love, Simon yet. So,
so true, we haven't watched Love, Simon together. Then Jughead asks Veronica about her home life and is like, so how's your dad? What's going on there? How are your neighbors? Who's involved with your dad's business? He just, like, keeps firing questions. And Betty tries to change the conversation, and Jughead is just being, like, really, really aggressive.
Yeah, Veronica, queen of reading people, and, like, like, clearly everything is not right between them. Like, they're still mad at each other, which, so, I'm like, she was literally interrogating you.
Here's my thing. Jughead is clearly, like, interrogating her, and Betty's like, Jughead, cool it, like, slow, like, calm down, stop being so aggressive. So then Veronica turns to Archie, who is, they're all sitting, I don't know, 5 feet apart from each other, and goes and tells that him that she thinks something is amiss between them. They're right there. They can hear you, Veronica.
No, she's so perceptive. She's so smart. She was in Model UN. She's gonna broker peace.
She brokered peace in the Middle East in modern UN, in Model UN. I forgot about that. Master negotiator.
So Veronica, queen of brokering peace, says that it's time to get into your bathing suits and go to the hot tub.
So they do. I need to know that everyone, that Veronica is coming out in a half black, half white, like split down the middle, swimsuit cover up robe thing. And it's just like flowing. And it honestly, it was a slay. It was a fashion moment for me.
Slay. I didn't notice that, but slay.
You're dead.
Veronica's solution to all of their problems. And this makes a lot of sense. This is probably what she did between the, like, Sandinistas and whatever she did.
Oh, yeah. In the last this episode. Is definitely the solution that solved whatever problem, international conflict.
Is that Veronica and Jughead should kiss because. No reason. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Because it's time for a Bughead kiss, she says. And so Betty and Archie are both like, why would this help the situation? But Jughead is weirdly for this idea.
Okay, this just seems out of character, no? Like, this does not seem like yes. Jughead's personality.
No, it doesn't at all seem like Jughead's personality.
But he says that a Bughead kiss might save a future Bughead from imploding. And his justification is so, like, male manipulator. He's like, look, I'm cool with it now, but who knows? I could hold it against you in the future. So if I do this, then I can hold it against you in the future. And it's like, okay, Jughead, maybe just don't hold it against her in the future without having to do anything. Because, like, that's what forgiving someone is.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird. Anyways, they do kiss, and it is, in fact, very weird. It's like a little gross. And then Betty and Archie look really upset.
Yeah.
That was fun. And then Betty and Jughead, after this occurs, apparently just went back to their room. And Betty and says something about how isn't it weird that out of the four of them, Jughead and Archie are the only ones who haven't kissed.
One pause, untrue. They definitely have. Two.
Oh yeah.
I said Betty will kiss girls for the male gaze because yes. She literally just said that so she can start having sex with Jughead. Like, okay, queen.
Jughead is in fact, like I wrote, disturbingly turned on. Anyways, then Betty goes to the bathroom and she's like interrogating him about the kiss a little bit and is like, did you enjoy it? Like, why did it last so long? Weird foreplay. These people need therapy. And then that statement is bolstered by what's about to happen. She opens the bathroom door and it's sliding to reveal that she's wearing her dark Betty wig and the lingerie thing she was wearing when she tortured Chuck in the hot tub.
They're fucked up. They are fucked up. They are like 16 years old and you already have to do that to like
want to
have sex with each other. I feel like you have some damage.
They need help.
A little bit. Archie, meanwhile, king of healthy coping mechanisms, is rapidly doing push-ups to try to blow off some steam. And Veronica tries to have sex with him because, again, that's how they solve all of their problems. And Archie is like, oh, I'm too tired. And Veronica is so, she's so pissed. She's like, are you kidding?
No, she's upset.
One, why are you being a man in this situation, Veronica? And two, they already had sex, like, presumably, like, 3 or 4 hours ago. Like, calm down, Veronica. Like, he's not rejecting you. He's just tired. Like, leave him alone.
He's like, we had a long drive. We already fucked. And we went to a hot tub. I watched you kiss another man. Like, it's been a long day. It's been a long day. Anyway. this is all interrupted because then they hear Betty and Jughead having sex in the next room, and Archie does not look pleased about it.
Yeah, weird. So then the next morning, Archie goes out and is chopping wood because, of course, and Veronica is, like, watching from afar, and he, like, gets... like, he walks into the woods to basically talk to Andre, and Veronica is like, what? So she follows him into the woods and catches him talking to Andre, and of course she's very mad because she sent him away and Andre stayed to talk to Archie. For why? Like, why did they talk?
What was the reason? Well, we know the reason, but, like, what was the reason?
What was the reason?
What was the reason, actually?
You said we know the reason. What was the reason?
Well, based on future events, I assumed it was to, like, get Andre to go away?
This was not, I don't think this was all orchestrated. They just use it to their convenience later, right?
I don't remember. I thought it was orchestrated, but maybe it wasn't.
I don't know. Well, I guess, yeah.
We'll find out.
Keep listening to find out, folks. We don't know what's happening either. but anyway, Veronica's very mad and sends Andre away.
She calls him a horrible spy, which was really funny to me.
What?
She calls him a horrible spy, which was really funny to me.
I mean, true. And she's like, go away for real this time. Like, yeah, he'll definitely go away now, Veronica. You asked him twice.
Yeah. Archie's like, I don't know if that's a great idea, Veronica. And Veronica's like, don't, just give me space. I'm pissed at you right now. And then says she's going to town with Betty, and he can stay behind and entertain Jughead. And then as she's leaving says, try not to choke on your own testosterone while you're at it. He walks away.
Inventor of feminism, Veronica Lodge.
Which is, like, so close to, like, a slay, but yet so far. It's like, she thought she ate, and she almost ate, but she didn't.
Minor slay. It's like, a quarter slay.
It's like, it's a thing where it's like, she thought she ate, and it was real close, but she didn't. But because she thought she did, it, like, makes it even worse.
Exactly. Like everything Shiv does in Succession.
Yes.
they were the same character. I think that's the thesis of this podcast. So then we see Josie walks in on Sheriff Keller flirting with her mom, and she's not impressed, and she is like, it's super weird because, like, I don't like watching this happen, especially when Dad doesn't know. And Sierra tells her that her dad does actually know and that they're going to get divorced. And Josie is very mad. And these are the storylines that I struggle to connect with, because, like, my parents are not divorced, but I always kind of struggle when the character is, like, a teenager. So, like, if they understand that relationships, you know, it's not like if you're a child, like, you don't understand how relationships work. That's fair. But, like, she knows that her parents are not together. Her dad, like, is on the road and, like, doesn't live with them, right? Like, she knows that their relationship has not worked out. But she's so mad that they're going to officially get divorced. I'm like, I don't get it, but also I'm like, I don't want to take away that trauma for her, like.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's weird. I don't, like, I also don't know how to relate to it because my parents aren't divorced, and, like, she is 16, but also, like, seeing your parents get divorced, no matter how old you are, has got to suck a little bit. even if you like do understand that it's maybe for the best. So I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
It's just sad, really. Like, it's not fun. It's just sad.
Yeah, and she is definitely partially mad about, like, Kevin not knowing, and mm-hmm. also the fact, like, her mom isn't really cheating, but, like, as far as we know, Sheriff Keller is cheating. Like, we don't know all the details, but, like, they aren't separate. Like, Kevin's parents aren't separated in the same way that Josie's parents are, so like that upsets her as well.
Yeah. Anyways, then Archie and Jughead are hanging out in the woods, and Jughead informs Archie of the Betty Veronica kiss during River Vixen's tryouts, and he's like, I don't understand. Archie's like, why would they do that? And Jughead's like, I don't know. I don't understand. And I'm like,
I have a few fucking ideas why they would do that. You're not going to like them, but I have a couple of explanations for you.
I'm like, I have two theories. Anyways, then Archie apologizes for kissing Betty, and Jughead's like, no, it's fine, dude, but also our relationships are really weird and really entangled, and if anything goes wrong, it's gonna really fucking suck.
Yeah, he's like, it's a powder keg with like all the different dynamics that are going on. I also said Jarchy kiss ? But I don't know if that was a response to anything or just my own personal idea.
I think it was what happened after the scene ended, in my opinion.
Probably. Most likely.
I think it's canon. That's what happens when the camera cuts away.
So then we see that Josie called Kevin and she wants to tell him the truth. So she tells Kevin about, like, oh, basically your dad's dating my mom. And Kevin is very upset about that. And like, that's fair, because he's like, what? My mom is over there risking her life over, we don't really know where, but over somewhere, risking her life, presumably. And his dad is dating his boss.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. We also get a little hint that the spring musical is coming up sometime soon and Kevin is directing. So that's something to look forward to. It's very exciting.
So there's this, like, do you remember early pandemic when everyone was doing those U quizzes? Maybe not everyone. It was very much on Tumblr. And yes, I did return to Tumblr during early pandemic. What else was I supposed to do?
But a lot of people returned to Tumblr in early pandemic.
I know. And honestly, it was only for like 2 months. So like, you know, it was warranted. People were doing these like U quizzes where basically you just make quizzes and like post the links and people do them.
Okay, and no, I do know what you're talking about. I remember these. I did a lot of them because I was very bored and trapped inside my home.
Exactly. There was one that I was like, pick a Riverdale moment. There's no option to choose none of them. You have to choose one. And one of them was that, like, the only gay kid at school gets to blindly cast the musicals, like, without holding auditions. He just chooses who does what role. And that is that's what I thought of instantly, because he goes up to Josie and he's like, I want it to be a star vehicle for you. No one else has any say.
He just gets to pick it. It's his project. It's his passion project. And honestly, it's probably for the best.
Yeah, he's an artist.
Better casting choices than a lot of High School Musicals.
So then in town, Veronica asks Betty when, like, oh, we heard some stuff last night. Like, when did all that start? And Betty says the night of her confirmation. And Veronica kind of flirts with the checkout guy at one of the stores, and he's like, I'm Cassidy. And Yeah, Betty's like, okay, calm down, Veronica. Like, you guys just, you got into a fight. You didn't break up, which I'm like, Queen Veronica just instantly starts flirting with every other guy she meets.
The cashier calls Riverdale a hick town, which was so funny to me.
Damn. Which, like, isn't this supposed to be a hick town? Like, yeah. I don't understand. I don't understand.
I feel like this is supposed to be worse than that.
Yeah. And Betty then tells her all about the role play that her and Jughead are doing for some fucking reason. Keep that to yourself, Queen.
She said transparency. We're talking about it, and I want to share. Anyways, the girls get back from the store, and Archie asks Veronica if she's still mad at him, and she says yes, but then is like, I'll forgive you. Just remember that you're dating me, not my dad. So, like...
Like, Veronica, I'm not sure that's true. I think he might be dating your dad.
A, not sure that's true. B, if you have to say that.
You already lost.
It's over. Pack it up. Wish him and your dad a happy anniversary and move out. It's over.
So then they're playing Monopoly together.
No.
Not yet.
Jughead gets a phone call and he answers it. And Betty says, if that's Cheryl, tell her everyone kissed everyone and it's over.
Which does solidify the fact that Jughead and Archie kissed after that one scene.
Yes, it does. You're right. Anyways, but it's actually just FP calling to let him know that they are no longer going to be evicted from the trailer park because Hiram bought Sunnyside trailer park and he said that they can all stay.
Which, okay, pause. Didn't last episode FP was like, oh, this was all just a con, like it's not. Hiram basically made the same offer but then said Jughead can't write the article, and the only difference in this situation is that apparently has nothing to do with Jughead. But why would FP believe this? Like, this seems out of character for FP to like blindly trust Hiram. Like, he's smarter than that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's... No, but why would he lie to Jughead? I was wondering if it was like, he's here to celebrate with the other residents of the trailer park. To be like, this is a great, like, we get to keep our homes for a while, at least. Even if he's a little bit suspicious of it, like, it's still good news for them in the meantime.
Yeah, but he calls Jughead, like, specifically to celebrate. Yeah,
but he calls Jughead in, like, a jovial, is like, yay, it's all over, congrats. So, yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't add up to me. Jughead to Veronica is like, what the fuck is this? He's buying our silence. And Archie and Veronica immediately are on the other side and are like, Hiram is trying to make amends. You wrote an article about how, like, Hiram needs to respect the town's history and like make amends to these people, and that's what he's trying to do. Which honestly, that was kind of a fair retort.
Yeah.
Like, obviously it's not true, but like it was kind of a good argument.
It was. And Betty agrees and is like, yeah, Jughead, like it sounds like they like have a point. It's not, you like calm down a little bit. And then Veronica calls Jughead a narcissist, which, like, yeah, but also pot kettle, like.
Yeah. Honestly, Jughead and Veronica fighting to be the most narcissistic. I mean, other than, like, Cheryl and Hiram and, honestly.
Yeah, but Cheryl's, almost like performative narcissism.
Yes, she's a self-hating narcissist, aren't we all, Cheryl? Then we see Sierra talking to Josie, and she is like very genuinely hurt, and she's like, Josie, I never thought you'd be cruel. And she says that the lodges took away her choice of when she was gonna tell like Josie and other people the truth. And now she took away Tom's choice of when he wants to tell, like, his wife and his kid the situation. And Josie kind of instantly starts to feel bad about it and is like, oh, maybe, maybe that wasn't the best move. But like, I think Josie reacted immaturely, but also like, I understand it. Like she's 16. Like she wanted to know the truth. So she thinks the best thing to do is to tell Kevin the truth, but that might not be like actually right.
Yeah. Again, it's just sad. Then Kevin gets a burger at Pop's and Moose and Midge walk up and they're like, oh, are you here alone? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, well, don't be alone. Just like come join us. And so he's like, fuck it, fine. I'll come join them. And Midge asks who he's meeting at the movie. And he says he's going alone. And she's like, oh, that's so sad. Like, let me help you find a date. You could date one of the Southside guys. I've heard one is gay. And Kevin says, if it's Fangs Fogarty, I don't think I can date someone named Fangs.
I love that Midge, like, she is 100% being that girl that it's like, one of them is gay. You should date. Like, I know two gay people. They need to be a perfect match. They must be soulmates.
I've met two of them. They'd be so good together. Anyways. Then Moose says that Fangs is good looking, and Midge is like, what would you know about that? So clearly she thinks he's straight, and Kevin picked up on that too.
Yeah. I cannot believe you did not say that Kevin said, I'm going to this gay rom-com alone. That's what he says. He's like... she's like, you must be going, you must be meeting someone at the movie. And he's like, nope, I'm going to this game
rom-com alone.
Which is iconic screen cap that I definitely have saved on my phone.
Yeah.
But my takeaway from the scene is like, honestly, Midge is very nice because she just invited, like, she's straight up on a date and genuinely invited Kevin to their table because she's like, oh, like, Moose and Kevin are friends. Like, I'm going to invite him to sit with us, which is actually very nice. So, like, I will not take any Midge villainization around here.
No, I think she's maybe a little misguided, but definitely an ally and a very nice person.
Yeah.
But yeah. Then a car pulls up to Thornhill and Penelope gets out to like go greet it. And Cheryl watches from the window above and looks sad.
Yeah, she's sad. So then at the Bijou, Josie is there. The whole town is fucking watching the premiere of Love, Simon. So I'm like, okay. Josie is there and apologizes to Kevin for like telling him the secret. Like it wasn't her place. And they kind of go to watch the movie together. And then we see Cheryl. Why is she there? And Tony walks up and is like, Fangs bailed on me to see this movie. No fucking way. I've lived my life. Fangs was never invited to this movie. And Tony's like, are you okay? And Cheryl says that she's very much not okay. And she does agree to like sit. She's like, well, if you want some company, like I kind of, now I'm alone, like we could sit together. And they have so much chemistry. Mm-hmm. Like there is like, I don't know if they're just very talented actresses, but it's also, I feel like chemistry is just like something like two actors, actresses have or don't. Like it's, you could be a good actor and not have chemistry with someone else. They just have so much chemistry.
Anyways, they all go to watch the movie and we do see a scene of Love, Simon. And it's not just any scene. It's the Now You Can Breathe scene.
Evan, you saw Love, Simon in theaters?
I did not.
You did? Oh, what?
Much like many a character in this television show, I could not find someone to go with.
Wow. Meanwhile, I went to Love, Simon with my girlfriend at the time.
I watched it at home.
Closet case. I have to say, first of all, for anyone who's going to be mean to me, I have to say that because Evan is like happily in a relationship and I'm very single now. So like, you got to take your wins where they exist.
Listen, my Love Simon story is actually really sad.
So. Do you want to hear my Love Simon story?
Sure.
We were going to see Love, Simon, and we would always go to the movie theater, like that one that's basically in Cleveland, like, you know, next to the Quaker Steak and Lube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We would always go to that theater. So before I realized that she had never been to Quaker Steak and Lube. So I'm like, we should go get lunch before. And cause you know, like that's my white trash culture.
Well, Quaker Steak and Lube is just so good. It's so good.
It's honestly good. She was not impressed, but it's delicious.
That's bad taste. That's just bad taste.
I think that's been proven through so many.
It has.
So we were at Quaker Steak and Lube getting food before Love, Simon. And I distinctly remember it because like we finished eating. She went to the bathroom. The waitress was like an older woman and it was like not busy at all. Who was like kind of chatting with us throughout the meal and came to give us our check. And I paid for it while she was in the bathroom. Cause this is why I shouldn't put 3 shots of rum in a smoothie and drink it throughout the episode.
I think it gives us great content.
She comes back to the table and I'm still chatting with the waitress because I'm very nice. And she's like, oh, we need to pay. Oh, you already paid. Oh, thank you. Like, you're so nice. And the waitress was like, yes, she is. Because I always pay. This is a side tangent. When I'm on a date with a girl, I tip at least, I'm not kidding, 30%. Because I feel like this is how we solve homophobia. If, like, these...
okay.
Hear me out. Hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
People are homophobic. People respond to money, financial incentives. Sure. If you're a waiter or waitress and you serve a bunch of couples and the gay couple tips you like exorbitantly well, you will become less homophobic subconsciously.
I see your point. I like that strategy. That's a fun one.
I still do that full stop. Like, it's so embarrassing. Like, I can't help myself because I'm like, I think I'm going to change some lives right now.
Obviously.
So anyway, I just remember feeling so fucking hyped because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, because, you know, I was just a little gay kid in America. And then we saw Love, Simon and we roasted the hell out of Love, Simon. Like, I just remember like wanting to throw popcorn at the screen. Like, we were just making fun of it the whole time. We were such haters. But honestly, trailblazers, because I think that's kind of the overall sentiment about Love, Simon.
Yeah, I think it is. It's not a good movie. Like, I have complicated feelings on Love, Simon because it is kind of like my trash in that, like, I love that genre of film. It's very fun to me to have like a coming of age high school set film. Like, Booksmart is one of my favorite movies, but it is trash. Like, it's a trash movie, and it's really problematic in a lot of ways.
But you get to breathe now, Simon.
You get to breathe now, Simon. My Love, Simon story is actually really sad. So as Allison noted, I was a closet atheist, but I really wanted to see Love, Simon. So I decided that I was going to text my really, really good friend and let her, and like, I was going to come out to her so that we could go see Love, Simon together. So I text her and I'm like, I want to talk to you after band, because we had band together. She's like, yeah, okay, let's like chat after band. Or asked her if she wants to get lunch after band. And she was like, okay, cool. Let's get lunch. That'll be fine. And then she was like, actually, I can't do lunch. And I was like, oh, this is kind of important. So she decides that we can meet in a practice room off of the band room instead, just chat for a few minutes.
Okay.
In which I ended up coming out to her in a practice room of the band room. At my high school, sitting on a stool, and she went, oh, that's great. And just like moved on. It was a fine experience. It was whatever. Then
she didn't say, now you get to breathe, Evan.
No, she did not. Then, like, 48 hours later, I text her and I'm like, oh, do you want to see Love, Simon sometime this weekend? You know, wide open, or like sometime. Do you want to see it sometime? She texted me back and was like, oh, no, sorry, I'm busy. Just like, won't go with me.
Wow. What? Who the fuck was this?
I will tell you after, because you know.
We're not going to be naming names on this podcast. That's
but horrible. You know her, and I know.
Okay, then I know who it is. Yeah, okay. No,
there's a few people you might
know.
So I will clarify later.
You probably do. That is so sad.
I told you, it was really sad. I just wanted to see Love, Simon, and then it wasn't very good.
That is so sad. The reason that we hated it is because, like, and sorry, like, trigger warning to people that have, like, woke parents. Both, like, my parents are, like, Republicans, and, like, my ex-girlfriend, like, her mom was, like, an immigrant, and, like, just, like, a more, like, they were more woke than my parents, but, like, it was just, like, a different cultural dynamic going on, and we were, like, fucking Simon, closeted-ass bitch, won't come out to his woke-ass parents. Meanwhile, like, we're out there living, so that's kind of why I understand the goodness that Love, Simon has done for society. Now, here's a question. Have you seen Red, White, and Royal Blue that came out this weekend?
Yes.
Of course
yes,
you have.
I have.
So I was saying, my friends and I had a movie night. Gay friends, by the way.
I watched it with my boyfriend.
Aw, okay, you still fucking win. Okay, but I was watching with three gay friends, so that's kind of impressive.
That is impressive.
And we were having a movie night because my one friend had never seen But I'm a Cheerleader, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So we were like, we need to have a movie night to watch that, and then we were deciding on a second movie to watch, and I was like, we could watch this, like, I know it comes out that day. And she's like, oh, yeah, my friend watched it this weekend and said it was good. And I was like, because I kind of did not think it was good. This was before I even watched it. I was like, So then I look it up on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, 77%. Like, that's what it was at the time. I was like, 77%. It's not that bad. But then I look up, I'm like, I bet Love, Simon is like 90%. And so I look up, Love, Simon is at a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Of course it is.
True.
Love, Simon, like I said, it is my trash, but also it's bad. I don't know.
What'd you think of Red, White, and Royal Blue?
Oh, it was bad. Like, I'm sorry to all the people out there that, like, enjoyed it or whatever. I enjoyed it. Like, I'm not gonna lie and be like, I hated watching it. It was, like, a fine thing to watch. It was a fun time. But it wasn't good. Yeah, I saw one tweet that I think really encapsulated a lot of my issues with it. Was someone tweeted and was like, one of the actors thought he was in Call Me By Your Name and the other one thought he was in Riverdale. And I was like, yeah, that's...
Shout out!
That was the vibes of this movie.
And you said, shout out to the pod, Cheryl's the history.
I have a podcast for you.
Yeah, I was very much fucked up by the time we got to that movie. So I don't remember the finer details, but we were definitely, like, making fun of it. Like, it was entertaining, but, like, in a, like, I'm making fun of it way.
Yeah. As someone who, like, read and thoroughly enjoyed the book, it wasn't good.
Thoroughly enjoying that book is a bit of a... Have you read any other books?
I thoroughly enjoyed. I'm not saying I thought it was a good book.
Yeah.
I'm saying I enjoyed reading it.
I remembered very little about the book, but I just kept remembering. I was like, I remember the first sex scene. That's what I said when like we started the movie, but yeah, it wasn't the first one. I only remember the polo one, and I thought that was the first sex scene. But I'm like, it wasn't. I remember the polo one.
It was steamy. The polo one was much steamier in the book. They just made random ass changes that I was like, okay.
They definitely made changes, but like I don't remember the book well enough to like really remember what they changed. I was like so confused because I was like, I thought the parents were divorced, but they were together.
They were.
I must be remembering that wrong. But then everyone's like, why did they have the parents together? I was like, okay, I did remember.
They were divorced, but then it like, sorry, as someone who really like is into politics as well, it made no sense to me because I was like, part of the reason that like it worked was because they were divorced. Like, so they're both involved, like they're both elected officials in the federal government. And part of the reason that was okay was because they were divorced. Like,
yeah,
it's not like against the law, I don't think, but like there's no way that the president will be married to a sitting congressman.
And honestly, I feel like, because they went for the whole, like, female president thing, which already, you know what's more unrealistic than the fucking Prince of England falling in love with the fourth son of the United States?
The a female Democratic United president States from Texas? A woman.
That's where I call bullshit.
Okay, but Uma Thurman was, like, the best part of the movie, so.
I'm so confused. Anyway, that's our review of Red, White, and Royal.
That was such a tangent.
Anyone else have any Love, Simon clip comments?
Oh my god.
Cheryl's crying.
Oh yes, Cheryl is crying. Yeah, Cheryl cried. I think Kevin cried too, if we're being honest. Anyways, back to the show. Betty Jughead. Veronica and Archie are playing Monopoly. And Veronica is honestly cleaning up. She's killing it. She's a capitalist queen, making the bank. Betty gets a call from Alice, and while she's away, Jughead explains what happened with Chick at Betty's house that morning, or the other morning. But then Betty comes back and freaks out and yells at Veronica because Hiram bought the Riverdale Register, which just starts a whole fight scene that, I'm sorry, was so funny.
It was so entertaining.
It was just so entertaining. Betty and Jughead are now accusing Archie and Veronica of like being in on Hiram's grand scheme to own the South Side. And they're like, Hiram only invited us here so like you only invited us here so that you could get us out of town so Hiram could buy these things, which like you could have done it with you guys there. Let's like not pretend that you could have stopped that.
Jughead, I think you're overestimating like your own abilities here. How would you stop this from happening?
Anyways, Archie responds to this by going, shut the hell up, Jughead. He is so real for that.
Me every day watching this show.
But Archie gets a pretty good burn in return and says, Archie, this one is pretty simple, so even you might get it.
I screamed. I literally... Jughead thought he ate and ate with that he one.
Actually ate, which is so rare for Jughead.
So then Veronica's like, Betty, you should be mad at your dad. Because, like, her dad is, I guess, the official owner who had to, of course, like, consent to the paper being sold.
Valid, Veronica.
True. I mean, true. But, yeah, so Veronica's like, you should actually be mad at your dad. And she's like, no, they're, like, taking away the free press, who's the only people that could possibly report on what Hiram's trying to do. And they're like, name one good thing that Hiram has ever done. And Archie, sweet, sweet, stupid-ass Archie, is like, he actually paid my dad's medical bills.
I love that they're like... stop acting like my dad is evil. He's done good things. And he's like, name one. And Veronica just goes,
And Archie, like, again, thought he ate with the save of, like, he actually paid my dad's medical bills. It's like, okay, yes, he did groom you. I don't know if that's a good thing.
But... I don't. Anyways, then... Jughead says that Veronica has Archie wrapped around her finger, and Veronica, or Betty says that's not the only part. So
unhinged, unacceptable, honestly. Like, Betty, that girl is your best friend and you're saying that?
Betty basically called Veronica a whore who's manipulating Archie by having sex with him. Then Veronica responds.
As long as you're
responds,
the one in control, as long. Don't we remember what?
Yes, as long as you're in control. Anyways, Veronica responds and says, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we don't spend our time being tragic and moping and holding hands while watching serial killer documentaries. Oh, and wearing costumes to roleplay to get our rocks off.
Honestly, she did eat with that
she
one.
Ate there. Like... She ate there.
Yeah, at least they're just, like, having safe, sane, consensual sex. Like, they don't need to do all this shit.
I think this is a wonderful fight. In large part because, A, everyone is equally valid and annoying. And they all think they ate when they say things, and they actually did. Like, they actually did it well.
There were so many good burns. Of course, all good things must come to an end. And they decide, yeah. Like, we hear glass breaking. And Archie, for some reason, says, who else knows we're here? When they, like, realize someone's breaking in. And then Betty's like, why did you say it like that? Which I'm like, let's focus. There is literally an intruder happening right now. But
in
of course,
my mind.
She's so perceptive. She's so perceptive, though.
She is so perceptive, but also, in my mind, part of me was like, was that just Lily Reinhart being like, hey, Jay, why did you say it like that?
We need to do, like, a deep dive on the cast, and, like, because I don't know who's friends. I know they all hate Cole Sprouse. That's all I know. And
yeah.
Can I just say, don't we all?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't hate Cole Sprouse?
But I like the idea of, like, Lily Reinhart is just criticizing KJ Apa's accent. Like, why'd you say it like that?
Why did you say it like that?
And they're like, that's good. That's good. Let's put it in the show. So anyway, there is intruders and there's robbers, and Veronica, they break in and they're like, you know, get, like, where's your purse? To Veronica. Veronica agrees to go with the guy up to the bedroom to get the purse. And of course, Archie's like, you're not going with her alone. And Veronica's like, no, I got this, which is smart because there's, like, a silent alarm button in the bedroom, and she sneakily hits that and gives the guy the purse. And of course they instantly realize that it's the guy from the store, because he's going on, like, a fucking tirade of, like, you summer people think you're so much better than us, like, which I'm like, King, why would you, like, give hints to your identity? Like, he's not planning on killing them, so, like, giving any hints to the identity is just like, why would you do that?
Know that he's not planning on killing them.
Maybe his buddies certainly weren't, because they were like, his dude, what the fuck?
Buddies certainly weren't, but he seemed pretty okay with the idea. Because Veronica then comes back, and after getting him the money, and as they're walking back, she's like, I know who you are. And he's like, shut up. Anyways, and then they get back, and the other guys want to leave. They're like, we got the cash, let's go. And the main guy with the axe is like, no, we're not leaving yet. And tells them to get down on their knees. And, like, it looks to me like he's planning on murdering them with that axe.
I mean, maybe, but, like, is he, could he, maybe he's that stupid, but like, obviously murdering a bunch of rich people is a dumb idea. Like, they're gonna catch you and you're gonna go to jail forever and probably get the death penalty. So like, maybe he is that mad about like the rich people in his town, but he, I think buddies would stop him. Like, they don't seem like they want to kill them. They just want the money.
My only other thought is that he decided he had to do it because Veronica was like, I know who you are.
Well, he's the one that fucking basically reveals his own identity.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Anyways, then the phone rings and he's like, what the fuck? And Veronica's like, that's actually the security company. And you have like 30 seconds to get out of here before armed guards come in and shoot first and second. Don't ask questions or whatever she said.
And ask questions never. Shoot first and ask questions never. So yeah, they all scram. And I must say, good move by Veronica, because like, who knows how many times they call before they actually send people. I'm guessing it's very quickly, because like, I'm sure they have the best security company like available. But yeah, it is, she did definitely did scare them off. So like, nice job, Veronica. But Archie chases them for, why?
You get it. Trauma.
Just ego. Like, it's literally just ego, because like, they literally just ran with Veronica's purse. That's it. Which, yeah,
but
would not possibly, it does, it's not like a family heirloom. It's just whatever the fuck she's carrying around in her purse.
But Allison, when they made him get on his knees, he had a flashback to the Black Hood in Pops. So trauma.
No, he's like, oh my gosh, Hiram's gonna love me if I get her purse.
No, that's literally, I think his thought is like, Hiram will love me so much if I make sure that this man doesn't get away with it. And I actually beat the fuck out of him in the woods.
I think we've all done shit as dumb as that to impress our crush. We have all been there.
We've all done stupid stuff because of a crush, so he's valid. Anyways, Archie then catches a guy who did it and is like about to beat him. But then he hears a noise and it's Andre who's there. And he's like, Archie, I got this. Leave. And after like a few seconds of Archie being confused, he decides to walk away. And as he's leaving, he hears a gunshot.
Dot, dot, dot. Josie and Kev, then we cut to Josie and Kevin meeting up with Sierra and Tom to discuss the situation, and they say that this is going to be a long conversation and involves people that aren't even at this table, but they should get it started now. So they're kind of coming together to actually figure out how things might work in the future and being pretty mature about it.
Yeah. Also at Pops after the movie, Tony and Cheryl are talking. And Tony's like, I saw you crying, silently, like you could do it quietly, but I still noticed. And Cheryl then goes into a whole explanation about why she cried and what she related to in the movie and how everyone thinks she's a loveless monster, which I don't think it's everything one. I think it's just her mother. But that she's actually loved someone. No, I'm not devaluing Cheryl's feelings. I'm just adding clarification.
A lot of the other characters, this, because she did shitty stuff, and they're saying it because she actively did shitty stuff to them, but like, yes, they all think she's a loveless monster because like, she does shitty stuff, but it's out of trauma, Evan.
It is, because she loves someone who loved her back, but her mother ruined it. And Tony is like, oh, is it Jason? Like, I knew you were really close.
Which is like, queen of also thinking she's a loveless monster who only ever loved her brother, like,
yeah,
contributing to that narrative.
But yeah, and so Cheryl's like, no, it was actually Heather, my middle school best friend, but my mom caught us in bed together and called me a deviant and like forced her away.
Which, okay, even if you are the most conservative homophobe there is, seeing two middle school girls share a bed during a sleepover, like, I don't think anyone would question that. Like, that is the most common thing to happen.
Yeah, I'm a little confused, but whatever. Cheryl's a deviant, according to her mother, but Tony tells her that she's not a deviant.
She's sensational.
Yeah.
Queen. The rest of the gang is at Pop's, and Veronica's like, thank God you never caught up to the guy, Archie. So, like, of course, lying for his boyfriend.
His true love, Hiram Lodge.
And speaking of Hiram, then we see Archie talking to Hiram, and he's like, you did the right thing. And I'm like, because he, like, didn't try to fight them in the house, he was like, take whatever you want, which, I mean, obviously is the right thing. Like, don't be Archie. Don't stand up to people that are trying to rob you. Like, get out safely with your life and then call the police. But then Hiram asks, did it bother you that Andre shot the kid, basically? And Archie's like, the only thing I regret is not killing the blind hunt.
Yeah.
Archie, I love you, but you're so hard to love sometimes.
Yeah, it's real rough. It was a rough one.
And Hiram says that he should never hesitate when it comes to protecting the people that you love. And I'm like, pause. Neither of those instances was Archie trying to protect the people that he loved.
Yeah.
The Black Hood was about to jump off, like, a bridge and probably kill himself. Archie didn't need to kill him. The robbers were just running away with, like, a purse. That's not protecting someone you love. Like, they can take the money. The losses will be fine.
Yeah. No. Hiram's not pushing Archie to be his best. That's for certain.
No way. Wait, he's not?
This is a lesson Archie needs to learn.
Wait, but he's literally just a businessman.
He's a businessman.
He's more innocent than guilty.
This brings back a question. Is Riverdale at its core anti-capitalist?
It's like pivots between anti-capitalist and capitalist and anti-police and pro-police, and like it pivots between a lot of things, and anti-gang and pro-gang for some reason.
Anti-serial killer, pro-serial killer. Like, it flip-flops a lot. Anyways, the final scene is Betty or Jughead dropping Betty off at home, and he's still like a little sus of Chick dropping her off, and then the narration is like, she's walking into her home, but it might not be a safe one. And then the episode ends
because some home invaders come in blazing a trail. Some are let in, they say. So could Chick be a home invader? Iconic episode. This episode is gonna be so long.
It's gonna be so long.
But I think worth it. I really did not write down that many outfits this episode. I don't know.
I didn't either. I just have the Veronica swimsuit cover up thing. It was a fashion moment, I think.
I literally only wrote down Betty's sweater, which I thought was ugly, but I guess that's my selection, is Betty's like bright, bright pink sweater. Hideous. What was your quote of the episode?
There were so many. It's like so hard to choose. I think it was, try not to choke on your testosterone while you're at it. Because it was like so close, but so far. And it really stuck with me because of that.
Oh my gosh. So I needed to choose. I really thought you were going to choose one of mine, so my decision was made for me. But I think I do need to say, because this is definitely something I have quoted, like, unprompted, is, I'm just going to this gay rom-com alone. Very strong honorable mention to get your sapphic serpent hands off me.
No, I was saving that one for you.
I love the gay rom. I'm going to this gay rom-com alone.
Oh, I should have said IKA Cheryl Bombshell, which means I need no reason. I simply am. Feel free to tremble. And what was she doing there? So many questions.
Gosh, great episode. Oh, who should we do for Kinsey Scale?
I don't know. Have we done Andre?
No.
He was a player in this episode.
Okay, let's do Andre. Andre. Oh. Okay. Mine's gonna I'm coming out with a bold answer. So we're doing Kinsey scale, which is the heterosexuality to homosexuality scale from 0 to 6. Our character this episode is Andre. Evan, are you ready?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, close.
I thought I was being so bold. I so said 4. I. Evan said 3.
I was waffling between a 4 and a 3.
We could have been a lot. So Andre, I think we find out some other things about Andre later that are relevant to this discussion, but yeah, they don't really need to be highlighted.
No.
He's definitely like pretty gay. Like he comes off as pretty gay.
He does.
He does not seem to be like, here's my thing. If he was like a straighter guy, seeing the Hiram Archie dynamic, he'd be like, huh? Like, I feel like he would be asking some questions. He is asking no questions. Instead, he is telling Archie all the tea, all the secrets, like trusting him more than Veronica. And it's like, that is like some solidarity between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that. My thing is, so Andre is clearly a Hiram loyalist. I think we all can agree on that.
Is he?
I think he is, because he replaced Smithers, who is a Hermione loyalist.
Yeah, but okay, up until this point, I suppose. I think we find out some
things later, but at this point in time it seems like he's not a Hiram loyalist. And it's like, being a Hiram loyalist is just kind of gay. Like, I don't know how else to explain it, other than it's a little gay. He only interacts with men, like, exclusively.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I agree.
Sus.
I think he's a 4, 3, yeah. Good answers all around.
I support our conclusion together.
I'm surprised we were that close. I thought you were gonna like say like a 1 or a 2 or something, and I was really gonna have to fight for my life. But yeah,
were gonna say a 1 or a 2, and I was gonna have to fight for my life.
Who's the bigger homophobe, me or Evan? Who reminds you of, these are just discussion questions, who reminds you of Simon more, me or Evan?
Sound off on our Instagram. Let us know.
Sound off. Yeah, anything else?
No, I don't got anything else. It was a fun one. It was a great episode. Lots of fun.
Watch this episode, folks. Yeah. If you are just like listening to this podcast and not rewatching Riverdale, just give this episode a watch. You will not regret it. You will see a Love, Simon clip.
You will see a Love, Simon. I screamed at my TV multiple times during this episode. It's worth it.
It's worth it. All right. Have a good night, folks. God bless.
You can reach out to us. Let us know what your thoughts are on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Hear what your favorite iconic fits of the episode or your favorite quotes of the episode are. You can reach out to us at Cheryl's B-Words at gmail.com. Or you can tweet at us at Cheryl's Bitches, or find us on Instagram at Cheryl's Bitches and TikTok at Cheryl's Bitches as well. So that is cherylsbwords@gmail.com if you want to send us an email, and Cheryl's Bitches on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check us out, please.